Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, December 15th, 2017. I'm Sam Minter, Yvonne Bo is with me, and I guess you can hear my son Alex in the background too.
I'm currently eating and watching a video, and eventually I should hopefully be playing.
And you're going to be quiet. So hello Yvonne, how are you doing this week?
It's cold. I was just talking to Sam. I've spent 3 weeks in cold weather. This is really annoying.
It was
cold in Moscow. It was cold in Mexico. And it's freaking cold here. It's been cold in Florida. I mean, it's been in the 40s, 50s, shit like this. I'm like, I hate this. 3 weeks of this crap.
I feel so sad for you, Yvonne.
I don't live that... lived out here for a reason. It's not to be fucking cold all the damn time.
It's 39 and cloudy where I am, north of Seattle at the moment.
I chose not to live.
We're supposed to maybe... It looks like we might get some flurries tomorrow. Very exciting.
What?
Woo!
We might get some snow flurries tomorrow, Alex. Not enough to...
It did snow. Listen, it snowed in Florida a few days back.
Yeah?
When it snowed in the south... It snowed in northern Florida.
I
mean,
very good.
Which hasn't happened in a long time. I mean, it's, you know, so, yeah. It's been cold.
Anyway, we do have an actual agenda for the show. We're not going to talk about the weather for two hours.
We're not going to turn into the Weather Channel?
Well, we could. I'll give you an update. You know, you were talking about the temperature in Moscow, but I'm looking right now at the forecast from Moscow, Idaho. And it's 29 degrees and mostly cloudy there right now. Any other cities you want to highlight as we record?
You remember that old music they used to play in the Weather Channel and how they used to use those Amiga computers to show those graphics with stuff? We could do some of that, roll some, you know, stuff.
Anyway, our real agenda for today as we record. Did I mention the time? It's just before 4:30 UTC on Friday to... 15th of December.
No.
We are going to talk about the Alabama election results. We are going to talk about the Republican push to attack the Mueller investigation lately. And there's some things about an FBI agent who said some bad things about Trump and, you know, some other things. And then, you know, we're going to slide into a lightning round because, you know, there are a few other things that happened, but there's not one that we thought was going to be a whole segment all on its own. So we're going to do a lightning round and talk about whatever we feel like for however long that goes. Okay. Sound like a plan? Like a plan?
Sure.
Anything else you want to mention in this starting segment, Yvonne, before we get into those things?
Fire away! Fire bombs away!
What are we bombing now?
Nothing that I know of.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, we are going to take a break, and we will come right back, and we'll get into the real stuff.
Break already?
Yes, already. Believe it or not. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Be quiet.
You're listening to this podcast. Do you like it?
No!
Do you want to support the show?
No!
Well, after you have subscribed to the show, followed us on Facebook, and told all your friends they should be listening to, what else can you do?
I won't subscribe!
You can help fund our Patreon at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Patreon is a way you can throw us a few bucks a month to help out with the expenses of the show. You know, web hosting, equipment, a little bit of advertising to promote the show, and maybe every once in a while some much needed sedatives for Yvonne. At different contribution levels, you can get a mention on the show, our Curmudgeon's Corner postcard, or even a Curmudgeon's Corner mug. Fun stuff.
Not fun.
In any case, the contributions help tell us that you enjoy and appreciate the show.
I really, really hate Curmudgeon's Corner.
Are we worth a buck a month?
No!
$5 a month?
No!
Or if you are nuts about us, maybe even more.
Anywhere near $1 billion.
If we're worth anything to you at all, send it our way at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner.
Alex hates, really, really hates, Curmudgeon's Corner! That's really mean, isn't it? But I hate Curmudgeon's Corner. But I really do!
Okay, we are back. So let's start out with the election results in Alabama. You know, There was an election? There was. I was sure that, you know, we had this bump, like more, all these allegations happened about him going after teenagers and all this kind of stuff. And we had a bump where the Democrat was in the lead in the polls. And then that sort of faded away. And as we approached the election, the polls were all over the place. And all the experts were saying, we don't have any fucking idea what's going to happen. Because
But the polls were so widely divergent.
Right.
I mean, there was like Doug Moore had 10 points. I mean, right. Doug Jones to Doug Moore. But whatever his name, Moore had 10 points.
Yes.
Jones had 10 points.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
If you were taking the average, which of course people do, you had Moore ahead by a couple percent. But right. Like you said, yeah. They were all over the place. Nobody knew what was going on. But Yvonne, you and I were both sure after the first couple days, we're like, okay, there's going to be a temporary hit.
I thought, fuck, it's fucking Alabama. I figured, those fuckers are just going to send this pedophile to Congress. Yeah,
Jones will make it close, but he wouldn't be able to pull it through. But he did. In the end.
But he did.
And the things that people have been pointing out about what happened specifically in this election, there are a couple of interesting points. One is the black community was in the high 90s. It was like 98% of black women and like 94-95% of black men for Jones. And they turned out at numbers that were close to the 2016 turnout numbers. It was like 90-some percent
Right, they turned out like at presidential election level numbers.
Right.
Which usually the turnout is much lower for an off-cycle
election. Well, not even, this is an off cycle, too. You know, usually turnout is way down for the off-year elections, like 2018 will be. And then for special elections, in between those, it's usually much, much lower than that. Usually nobody shows up. And, you know,
but it was Democrat turnout that was strikingly high, because on the other hand, turnout for the Republicans, not so hot.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. First of all, Democrats, especially black Democrats, turned out in amazing numbers. But second of all, the Republicans just didn't show up. Like
they did,
and so this is, you know, they were at like half of the previous election margin or whatever.
Perfect.
And so this is the combination that is required for a Democrat to win in a deep red state like Alabama. Because look, here's the thing, you know, when we talked about these other special elections, like the one for Georgia Congress and, you know, these various other congressional special elections we've talked about, you know, they've had more attention than normal, but they're still sort of a normal election between normal candidates. Now, how much can you read out of what happened here? Because, you know, on one side of the equation, you've got this guy who's been accused of going after teenage girls. And that sort of changes the dynamics. But on the other hand, you know, and I was starting to make this point both here and earlier that, you know, look, you can't really read that much into this election in the same way you could those others. Like all of those others, even the ones where the Democrats lost, you could compare to the results, you know, in the 2016 election and say, wow, the Democrats did this much better than they did before. And if you generalize that to all of 2018, wow, look at what you got. But this has sort of these special things going on because Roy Moore was just so bad. But on the other hand, there was a Fox News poll showing this race tied before those allegations came out, if I'm remembering correctly. Maybe it wasn't Fox. There was at least one poll. You remember this?
There was?
Yeah.
The one that was the Fox News one that all of a sudden showed, like, you know, what's his name, like way the hell ahead.
Well, I'm talking before the allegations.
Oh, the one, the 40 allegations.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
What I was saying is it was looking close even before the allegations came out. That's my point.
I mean, the polling, relatively close for, you know, Alabama, yes. I mean, because Roy Moore was controversial even before these allegations anyway. I mean, this is the guy had been removed as a Supreme Court justice twice, right?
Yeah.
In the state? I mean, so it's not exactly like this guy was not without controversy from before.
Okay. I found the poll data I was talking about, and I remembered correctly. There was a Fox News poll showing a tie between Jones and Moore as early as the middle of October, which was before these allegations came out. These allegations
now, true,
came out in November.
But also, I don't know how good that reliable that poll is, because that poll also showed, like, what's named Jones ahead by 10 points before the frickin' election. And so, we were all like, nah, it's a frickin' impossible. There's no way it's that. And we were right. I mean, it wasn't a 10-point win.
No,
it was only a point and a half.
Well, you know, even if you look at the average, you know, back in, let's see, when did those allegations come out? I'm guessing first week of November, somewhere around there, right?
Something around that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there were a couple ones showing it was close. Like you said, I think the right way to describe it is close for Alabama, you know?
Right.
Because you would expect the Republican to
a
quit.
Blowout.
Yeah, an absolute blowout. You'd expect 20-plus percent margin,
Trump,
you know?
Trump won by a gazillion points, right?
Well, I think maybe the right thing to measure would be the last Senate race. But in any case, you would expect Alabama to be, you know, 15, 20, 25% advantage for the Republicans.
Least. Yes.
And even before these allegations, you had the averages showing it much closer. Once you had these allegations, you had it going back and forth. But, you know, I still thought, you know, Moore was going to pull it out. And I guess I'm grateful to the people of Alabama to that they didn't.
Prove us wrong.
Yeah. But and again, though, I think a lot of it, you know, A, you had the amazing turnout among the African-American community. B, you had all these Republicans who just didn't show up. And maybe they weren't willing to vote for the Democrat, but they weren't willing to vote for Moore either, so they stayed home. And that was enough to make the difference. Also, it was pointed out the write-ins were enough to make the difference. If all of the write-ins had gone for Moore, he would have won.
Right.
You know, so I want to be really careful about reading much into the fact that Jones won here. I mean, like, he's in the office till 2020. It's almost certain he'll lose it again in 2020, right? I mean, he's not gonna be able to pull off keeping this seat, is he?
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
a lot will happen between now and 2020.
I mean, exactly. I mean, there has been. There's been so much, things that are topsy-turvy happening lately that, I mean, I'm not willing to go out on a limb and say, he's losing in 2020. I just, especially after I said I was pretty sure that Moore was going to win in the first place, regardless, even, you know, even after he was called out as a pedophile. Pedophile? Pedophile?
I've heard both.
Why am I asking you? I'm asking the wrong person for pronunciation advice. But anyway, one of those things.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron, for your confidence in my skills. in any case, I do want to be careful in reading in anything to this election. But at the same time, it's fucking Alabama. Regardless of the specifics,
it's
Alabama.
It's not just that. Look, it's the damn turnout, too.
Yes.
Look,
this pattern has continued over and over and over again, that the Republicans are apathetic at this point because they're not quite so sure about how good they feel about what they bought in 2016. But
right?
The Democrats are enraged and are on fire on everything.
And let's be clear. The numbers show the gap in 2016. The reality is Trump won not because he got more votes than Romney did.
Right.
2012.
But because
fucking
Clinton
Democrats
got less than Obama.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's it. And I know that a lot of people are patting themselves on the back right now about how well they turned out. And all I'm saying right now is, you motherfuckers, you didn't show up last November. I'm happy that you did right now. But I don't want to hear all this patting in the back right now, because where the hell were you motherfuckers last November? Did, yep. What, did you all think that this was just in the bag?
Yeah, that's what most, a lot of people thought that, you know, or they thought, you know, they're both bad and I don't like either of them, and bad, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 all this shit, you know. That last election, there was no reason to lose. And people didn't take it seriously, they didn't show up, and this is what we got right now. So I am glad that maybe in one sense, maybe people will learn their lesson for a good period of time, that this is the kind of shit that happens when you don't fucking show up.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens when you don't show up. Yeah, absolutely. That's what happened in 2016. But I think, you know, like, the Democrats are really angry right now, and they are showing up, and they're coming to these special elections. But also, you know, it pays to, like, you know, the Democrats have to decide to contest somewhere, too. The Democrats could have decided, it's Alabama. We're going to lose anyway. Why put any resources into that? Let's just let it go. And,
but, you know,
part of this was, I mean, Jones won by like 1.5% or something in the end, right? But they threw tons of money in there. Tons and tons of money, tons of attention. They had all their big guns going in there. So they were paying attention to it. And that's required. I mean, if they just sat back and said, whatever, Moore still would have won.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, you know, and Yvonne, you and I have talked about this before, about the whole 50 state strategy thing, about contesting everywhere. I think that even though there were some special things going on in Alabama, and even though we know, practically speaking, you can't throw everything at every race, you know, the Democrats just have to start playing like you have to take every race seriously everywhere. Every Senate seat, every House seat, every governorship, and then local state legislatures as well, and even local fucking races, because
that's been and you're totally right, and that's been the mistake that I will blame, and Obama, and the way that the DNC had been run the last 8 years, they have to own that mistake, is that they weren't doing that. They focused on,
before that as well. I mean, it's a trend going back, you know, like at least 15 years, maybe longer.
Well, I think that I was, you know, Howard Dean had actually, when he was in charge of the DNC, had pushed a lot of that the other way, at least.
And when was that? That was a long time ago now.
It wasn't 15 years. It was like about 12 when they won in 2006. OK, that they took back the House. OK, that was, you know, they had it for the following 4 years. But they pulled away from that strategy.
So, okay.
I mean,
so
they started just focusing on, you know, on just the other fronts. That was just a mistake. Yeah.
So he left in 2009. So, okay. Yeah, look. Because here's the thing with the local offices, and even though, like, there's no way in hell you'll possibly win offices, is that if you don't run anybody, then nobody in that community even thinks you're a present. Even thinks you're present, even thinks you're an option, even thinks you're should be considered.
Well, think about Texas, for example.
And even worse, by the way, than running nobody is running some joke candidate. You know, because whatever. But if you put in somebody who's decent, who has something to say, who, you know, then even for these local offices, then at least local people there say, oh, yeah, there are two people talking here. Let me listen to what the other person has to say. And maybe most of them will dismiss them, but there'll be those people in the edges who are like, oh, wait, I didn't even know that was an option before. I've never heard somebody talk like that locally. I mean, I've heard like Obama talk like that, but Obama's the Antichrist. Why would I pay attention to them? But this guy, this guy's my neighbor, and he's talking like that. Maybe I should think twice.
Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe. I mean, that's certainly, but I, you know, the one thing, if you take that strategy, okay, and you expand it, one of the things that you do, I think, is that you bring certain states, for example, that right now are have not been challenged seriously by the Democrats in 20 years, okay, right, back into that fold. And states that demographically have been changing. Look, two examples, really. Florida and Texas. I don't think that they're being, the Democrats have been strong enough in going out and like putting candidates in all of that state. Okay.
Right.
To in local races to make sure that the state senates and those are in such heavy Republican control, so they don't wind up being gerrymandered in a way that, as has been the Republican strategy, to make sure that they have far tighter control of what the hell's going on. Well, and then they suppress, then they pass laws that suppress votes, you know, voter ID and a whole bunch of this stuff where, you know.
And I keep coming back to this thing as well, is that, first of all, yes, you absolutely have to contest to even have a shot at winning. And so they need to be contesting everywhere. But again, like, even the losing races are building up a bench, are building up people that have experience running, are building up a level of seriousness and an organization that maybe will take, you know, 5 election cycles to bear fruit. But if you're not building that infrastructure up, if you're not getting people involved at that local level and doing things, then you're just defaulting and saying, I'm not even playing in this game.
Yeah, you're not even, I'm not even right. I'm not even challenging it. That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, now the other interesting thing about this Alabama thing is, of course, it won't be officially certified until the very end of December, or possibly even as late as the first week of January. And so he won't be seated in time for all these tax votes and things that are coming up. Now, people are, you know, Democrats are going, not fair, not fair, hold the vote, wait. And they're pointing out examples from, you know, 8 years ago or whatnot, where we had a similar situation with reverse with Scott Brown, and
the Republicans don't give a fuck right now.
The Democrats did wait and said, okay, we won't hold any serious votes until he's seated. We'll just pause for a few weeks. And I saw these people calling on the Republicans to do that, and I just started laughing. Yeah.
No, because the Republicans don't give a fuck right now. And the Republicans don't give a fuck right now because they know they're fucked. I was thinking about this and I'm like, you know, well, it's not fair. But look, this is the calculus of the reality that they are in right now. They have seen these elections. They know the poll numbers. They know the approvals that they've got. They've seen the generic ballot. Paul Ryan today was saying that he's going to retire at the end of this term. He kind of denied it.
The rumor is that that's happening. His statements were sort of like, I'm not thinking about that right now, blah, 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 but not in a very convincing way.
But not in a very convincing way. My point is, but that's a reality, that thought. Right. Okay. So let's get straight about this. Those guys are thinking we're fucked. We are fucked. I really, really do. And if they don't push this vote through, like right now, they know they will never get it because of how tenuous they're holding on to everything right now.
Right. They know the bottom line. At the end of this year, this whole show is over. Whatever they have to do, whatever they're going to do, they have to do, and they have to do it as quickly as possible. They realize they've already squandered a lot of time. Now on this tax bill, they realize that, you know, they have to just suck it up and do, if they're going to do anything, they just have to suck it up and do it. And the moderates have to go along and screw it, you know? And so I think a lot of them are just going to swallow hard, and you know, we'll probably talk a little bit more. I think that
they're just going to swallow it hard and pass it. Because they know that the electoral math, they know right now that they're fucked. They know it. They just do.
And so it's a matter of time.
They just lost the Senate. They just lost a fucking Senate seat in Alabama, man. It doesn't get a redder state than that. And they lost it. I mean, you know, if you don't see the handwriting on the wall after that, then you're just got your head stuck in the sand.
They're going to win big, Yvonne. They're going to win big from now on, the Republicans. They're, yeah.
Oh, that's this is when the winning starts now.
This is when the winning starts. You will be so sick of the winning.
This is what Trump was talking about. So now the winning's going to start.
They're going to pass the tax cuts, and you know, with net neutrality gone, everybody is going to be so happy, and the economy is going to go so well, and you know, everybody's going to be thrilled. Oh, and you know, the wall will be any day now.
Oh, the wall will be any day, of course.
Yeah, and as soon as we get rid of all those damn Mexicans.
I've got to tell you that, you know, every time I go to my damn dentist, the son of a bitch has fucking Fox News on all the time, okay? And, you know, they were like live at the Rio Grande, you know, like near my brother's house, like on the border, okay? And it's just ridiculous the way they're talking about this, because there is wall there already in some places, okay? Uh-huh. This is not new wall, but they're talking about it like, oh, yeah, it's coming, whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck are you people talking about, man? This thing's never happening. You guys haven't approved the funding like by now. You're going to lose a fucking house or whatever. The funding will never be there. You will not get you are getting nothing. Nothing. Not a fucking thing.
Anyway, so now the balance in the Senate after this, like, so they're going to squeeze in whatever they can with the tax bill or whatever in the remaining weeks of the year before Jones can be seated. And then after that,
the other thing I learned about watching Fox News today is apparently the FBI is kind of like the KGB. Something like that.
That's our whole next segment. We'll get to that. But they're going to squeeze in whatever they can in the next few weeks. And then with one less Republican, I mean, they've been having trouble getting to 50 when they've had 52 Republicans in the Senate.
Correct.
And now they have 51. It's just going to be that much harder because the same time, the pressure on those couple of Republicans that sometimes flip is going to increase dramatically. To like toe the line.
But a few of those, for example, have already announced they're not running again.
A few of them.
So here's the thing.
and you got John McCain.
Right.
Yeah.
So what the hell anyway? You know, the thing is that's why they are so desperate about this. Now, you know, Marco Rubio talking today. Look, Marco Rubio has no spine at all. There is, you know, the man has no principles or spine. So whatever. He's going to vote for this thing. Other people, who knows, you know?
Yeah, so I don't know. The dynamics are going to be interesting. We'll see how they play out.
What did you say?
Dynamics.
Something?
Dynamics.
Did you say that? I think that we went back to the replay. You said something else, but anyway, it's okay. All right, go ahead.
What did you think I said?
I think it sounded like dynamics, but it's okay. If you think you said dynamics, it's okay.
Yvonne, you're always getting on me about my pronunciation. I can't talk good enough for you. Someday,
anyway,
I will make you happy, Yvonne. It is my life goal to make you happy with my talking, and I just keep failing.
Anyway,
let's take a break. Enough of that.
Break already? Yes. Again?
We will be back and we will talk about
a peanut gallery over here over our breaks.
Will we be back without me?
If you keep talking.
Got it.
We will be back and we will talk. We will be right back, and we will talk about the FBI, the Mueller's FBI The FBI. See, I'm still not making Yvonne happy with my talk. We will be back. We will talk about the FBI, Mueller's investigation, and the Republicans. Back after this.
I have a question.
Stop with the
question.
Will
you be with me? Will I be with you after the break?
No, you won't.
I will. Wheezing.
You just interrupted again.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
I am.
Not really.
Choir.
No, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. Music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind, No Blue Thing, Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening, and The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music. Just so you know, Alex, every time you interrupt makes it so when I'm putting it together, editing it on the next day, it takes me longer.
Oh, yeah. I think that's all the,
Okay, Alex, zero tolerance for this next segment.
Zero tower at that.
Make any noise, and I pick you up and take you downstairs.
Got it!
Okay.
I said I got it.
Okay.
Okay.
You're still making noise.
You're still making noise. It's kind of impossible for me to be silent. Few times we might be a little teeny.
Okay, well, so he just said it's impossible for him to be silent, so therefore, he needs to go. Oh, you know, you just admitted. He's not going to shut up.
Something.
This is it. Okay, we are back. So, Yvonne, what is going on with the FBI? What are the Republicans saying here? Mueller's office is all a whole bunch of Hillary-loving communists, right?
That's what they're saying, yes. Because apparently the main problem is that some FBI agents thought that Trump's an idiot. And coming from the fact that you've heard this said by numerous Republicans, okay? And including, like, Rex Tillerson calling him not just a moron, but a fucking moron.
Yes.
Why is that so surprising?
Now,
yes.
So apparently there's an FBI agent, a string of texts with another FBI employee who he was in a romantic relationship with, using company phones, apparently, talking about how much Trump sucked and how he was an idiot and how they had to have an insurance policy if he won, all kinds of stuff that certainly make him sound like he doesn't like Donald Trump. Okay.
Right.
Let's.
But he's not in an exclusive club. And the thing is that, look, the fact that somebody, so they're like, well, nobody that can be working there can dislike Donald Trump. I mean, what the hell, man? Look, That is just a ridiculous standard. Well, people being in an investigation.
There are a couple things there. First of all, like it's even a credible position that, you know, there aren't tons of FBI employees with exactly the opposite point of view.
Correct.
Like there was a whole lot of talk about like the whole expose in the last couple weeks about the Hillary Clinton email being driven by the New York office that was full of Trump supporters, et cetera. So does that stuff. And do I think having a politically motivated FBI is a bad thing? Yes. But I don't think there's evidence that that's what's going on here specifically. It's people who had their opinions. And there's the whole notion of being able to be a professional, which is that
exactly
you do your job and you look for the facts regardless of and they take you where they take you, regardless of what your opinion is going in. But also, I put something on Twitter to this effect, but I want to say it here too, that if you are going to have a bias in an office that's doing an investigation, you want it to be a bias against the people being investigated, because you want the investigators to be like, I think there's something bad here, and I'm going to fucking dig, and I'm going to dig deep, and I'm going to find it. And if they don't find it, then in the end, you have confidence that they turned over every fucking rock and they didn't find anything.
Right.
And if they do find something, awesome, then there was something to find. Now, and the flip side of that is if they go too far, if they start digging into areas that don't make sense, or they're trying to make connections that are really tenuous or whatever, guess what? If they get to the point where they think they've got enough evidence to make a case, and then they bring that case, there's going to be a defense. And that's what the defense is for. And so
I think the one thing that's just crazy about this whole thing is how they've gone to the extreme of even what some of the people I heard this in the news from some of the Republican talking heads calling the FBI Obama in his administration turned the FBI into the KGB
because they're just going after Obama's opponents, right?
I'm like, what the fuck are these people talking about, man?
Yeah, like, I mean, you don't remember the multi-year investigation of Hillary, too?
Hillary Clinton? But I mean, what is wrong with these people? What are they fucking talking about?
Well, and I along the lines of what I was saying about, you know, frankly, if you want an investigation, you want your opponents doing that investigation. I've actually considered the option before of saying, you know, forget all of this, like, you know, there has to be a reason to appoint a special counsel. I would be in favor of, at the beginning of every presidency, automatically appoint a special counsel that's headed by the party that's opposite the president to immediately on day one start investigating everything the fuck they can possibly investigate to see what they can find. Always.
But here's
just
the
have
thing.
It be the norm.
But even like,
if they find
right.
something,
you
know, they find look, something. If they don't, they
let's
don't.
Let's be clear, right? As far as I know, Comey was a Republican. Mueller was a Republican.
Yeah. But you know, the difference is they're both professionals. They're both people who are committed to the notion of truth.
They're professionals.
And doing
that's my
the right
point.
Thing.
And I'm like, but that's my thing, that I'm like, these guys are calling this fucking organization like it's of some fucking like left-wing Democrat Gestapo.
I mean,
KGB
of all possible places that you are, like the FBI, if anything,
really?
Is not, you know, like your hotbed of liberalism. The FBI, if anything, is the fucking opposite.
Which is why this whole thing is insane. I mean, these accusations are just nuts of what they're saying. I'm like, you know.
Which brings up the real purpose of these. It certainly seems like it's an orchestrated campaign to, you know, sort of the old-fashioned FUD phrase, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, spread FUD about everything related to this investigation to make a potential cover for one of two things. One, if Mueller comes out with anything really bad, to sort of discredit it in advance and say, well, you know, he's saying that, but he's all biased. Or to provide cover for Trump actually firing him at some point.
Well, let's be clear about this. Okay, they grilled Rosenstein. Now I'm doing a Sam here. Rosenstein, whatever the hell his damn name is.
Mr.
Okay?
R.
So they grilled him.
I said Mr. R.
Stein. Mr. R. Okay, they grilled him yesterday. He basically, bottom line, said this. He's been in complete contact and has reviewed what the scope of Mueller is doing. He said that he has not stepped out of the bounds of what he's been assigned, and that he is on top of it. And that there is absolutely zero reason whatsoever to remove him because he is doing something improper. I mean, he pretty much laid down the gauntlet and said, you know what? Listen, there is no reason to fire this guy. He's doing what he was hired to do. Period.
Yes. And basically, you know, laying down the marker as well that if Donald Trump thinks otherwise, he is going to have to fire him to get it done. He's going to have to do the Saturday Night Massacre type of thing where he starts, you know, firing people down the line until he gets one who'll do what he wants.
Yes. Yes.
Now, of course, even there, just to point out as well, even if you successfully fired Mueller, that doesn't eliminate Mueller's investigation or Mueller's office.
That is correct.
That just means that somebody else would be in charge of it. But it doesn't stop the investigation.
Right.
It would take something else entirely to stop the investigation. Now, there are ways you could do that, too, probably. But the further down this road you get, the more chance you start getting of even the Republicans in Congress saying, fuck it, we're not going for this. And also want to point out as part of that calculation is what we were just talking about in the last segment. The reason Republicans won't do anything like right now is because they feel like they've got something to lose by going against Trump. If the calculus changes, so they feel like they would benefit by going against Trump because his popularity has fallen low enough, or the case is just too clear that he did something bad or whatever, then at a certain point the calculus changes and says, hey, we'd be a lot better off with Pence. You know, and so let's screw this guy and get him out of here as quick as we can.
Well, that would be, a calculus. Well, today I know that there were certain people that I heard numerous people, I can't say who, but I saw that numerous people were griping about the fact that some people, there seems to be more people turning against Trump. And that, for example, there was a whole brouhaha about Nikki Haley's statement.
Nikki Haley said that you should listen to the women who accused Donald Trump.
Correct.
Yes. Of harassing them or raping them or whatever.
Yeah. And then Roger Stone basically has, for whatever reason, said that I think he's resigned to the fact that Donald Trump is toast. And so therefore he's already writing a book about Donald Trump, you know, getting toasted.
Yes.
Which I thought, I'm like, well, he's already planning to cash in on this part, too.
Yep. This is the rats and the sinking ship and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know. He may be a little premature, but, you know, look, the odds are still, if you had to bet on it, he's still got a good shot of making it the whole 4 years.
I will say that. Yeah, he does. I mean, he keeps that. If I had a betting line on this, the odds, his odds of staying like that way keep going down. Look, think about, let's put it to you this way. If depending on how bad the election losses are, and a whole bunch of Republicans basically realize that challenging him, you know, that abetting him has been destructive for them and that they've got nothing to lose by challenging him at some point.
Right.
You know, there's a number of them that believe that right now they have sold out their soul for this asshole. Okay. Yes. All right. At what point did they just say, fuck this? Oh, the Democrats have got the House. Fuck this shit. We got to just bury this motherfucker.
Well, because
the guy has done impeachable. Listen, I do believe that he has already done enough that it is impeachable.
Yes.
I mean,
you don't even have to go to the Russia stuff.
Between the emoluments,
yes.
The lack of financial disclosure, the Russia stuff, the sexual harassment and accostment for which people have already been fired, okay, in a whole bunch of places. Just those. It's reasonable reason for impeachment.
Yes. And add to that, you've got potential 25th Amendment reasons of just being incompetent.
You know, yes, like, correct.
Because the 25th Amendment, the language just says incapable of carrying out their duties. It doesn't say why. It doesn't say it has to be health. It doesn't have to be anything. It's just correct. they can't carry out their duties properly. So I just want to point out, since you were talking betting, electionbettingodds.com. Has sort of a combination from a couple different betting sources. So their odds right now of Trump out early are really damn close to 50-50. Trump out early is winning. It's at 50.2% compared to Trump has his full term at 49.7%. And I'm not sure what that 0.1%, some rounding error, blah, blah, blah. The odds are, they have the year that Trump leaves, 30% 2018, 17% 2019, 1% 2017, running out of days for 2017. And I suppose the rest is 2020.
Yeah.
Well, actually, 2020 and 2021. 2021 would be when he actually like fills out his term. So anyway, but.
But, you know, so it's, I mean, 50-50. I mean, that's pretty iffy. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't even see this bet taking place during the Obama administration at,
exactly.
You know, a year in or whatnot, just under a year
in.
But, yeah, 50-50. I can't say that I'm that far off from those odds in terms of him leaving early. As you said, there are many reasons he could leave early. There's impeachment. There's the 25th Amendment. There's he has a health issue. He quits. There's all kinds of stuff. It's not just.
I mean, the guy drinks, you know. I don't know. I'm not going to argue the part about the Diet Cokes because my father, like, drinks that many Diet Cokes. A son of a bitch is older than Trump, for God's sakes. Okay? So, you know, and healthy as a horse. So I don't know about that. But, yeah, but I've got – but my father doesn't eat, like, the fucking, like, ridiculously bad diet this son of a bitch eats and does no exercise.
Oh,
I mean
– Remember, he fully believes that you've only got a certain number – of what was it? A certain number of heartbeats. And so if you exercise and your heart beats faster, that just means you're going to die sooner.
Right. Yep. That's what he believes. Yep. I don't know. This whole thing with the Republicans now going and Fox News and those right wing, ultra right wing, what publications, news media, whatever, going full on that the FBI is a Obama Gestapo organization is just completely insane. I, you know, especially 12 months after a whole bunch of Democrats were, basically with like including myself with serious reservations and heartburn about what the fuck happened with these guys and this whole damn thing with Hillary's emails, right? The fact that these people believe that is just they don't believe, and they're selling that story because that's what's beneficial to them because that's what they've turned into. They don't believe in anything.
Yeah,
I was about to say that.
First of all, just to throw it out there, the FBI agent they're talking about was also involved in the Hillary investigation and apparently had something to do with softening the language and the statement that Comey made about her or whatever. But the bottom line on all of this stuff is that I think you're absolutely right. Like the people in the right-wing media and in Congress who are trying to make this case are doing so disingenuously. They don't actually believe that the Mueller investigation is unfair and biased and, you know, is completely corrupt because it had this FBI agent who doesn't like Trump and probably has more agents who don't like Trump. And honestly, the more they investigate, the they probably like him less, even, you know, but, you know, they don't believe this. They just see it as a useful political tool, because if they get out this message, and they might not believe it, but all the freaking people who are sitting there who only listen to Fox News all day long, or who are reading Breitbart and, you know, think that everybody else in the media is evil, those people are going to suck it up. The Pizzagate loving people are going to suck this stuff up and think about this grand conspiracy and how the FBI is out to get our glorious leader Trump. And yeah, and so
but they're being fed this daily. They're being bombarded with it. They're looking at that media and they're fucking sucking it up and eating this daily. And look, brainwashing and that kind of shit and that kind of messaging to a lot of people, it works. It works. Well, that's why fucking people do it.
And so again, it's all preparation for either the day that Mueller, either the day that Mueller comes out with real hard stuff against Trump himself or Trump's immediate associates, Kushner, Don Jr., the people right around him, or the day that Donald Trump fires him. You know, when one of those two things happens, if you've got a whole bunch of people believing that this whole investigation is a bunch of bullshit and partisan people who are making crap up because they hate the president, then, you know, Trump's going to be able to turn around and do all kinds of shit and have those people still back him. I mean, and you know, look, a lot of those people are going to back him no matter what. But building up this noise chamber around it sort of lays the groundwork for making those arguments once Mueller comes out with something really serious.
Right. Yeah, they are going to be making them. Well, they're making them right now. I mean, they're, you know, look, they're doing everything and anything, like, you know, possible to defer attention. They've backed off all the Hillary lock her up stuff for about a month. Remember when the first indictments were coming out, that all of a sudden they were in that barrage mode, all of a sudden we were like, what the fuck is about to happen? I mean, they've backed off of that. But the thing is that, look, we know that there are more shoes to drop in this thing. The only guy, you know, actually, Roger Snowden, I will say, was right. He, in that article that I quoted about him talking, he said, look, the only morons that don't know that there are more shoes to drop are fucking Donald Trump's lawyer and apparently Trump himself.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break and we'll come back and do our lightning round.
Lightning!
A lightning go.
Back after this.
You're in The Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we are back, and it's time for a lightning round.
Yes!
Yvonne, go first.
Lightning round. Okay, the tax bill?
Tax bill. Yes. Yeah, okay. So you said you studied this and figured out what they've done in conference committee. You mentioned a little bit in the first segment. You think they're just going to ram this thing through and pass it.
Like I said, look, their political calculus right now is that they know they're fucked. So we got to ram through whatever the hell, you know, we've got. It doesn't matter how unpopular it is. It doesn't matter.
And you think the moderates who have stopped some of these things in the past are also in that spot? They're not. They're you had like things like Collins saying, if X, Y, and Z aren't in the bill, I can't support it, and stuff like that. They're all going to fold.
They're all going to fold. They're going to fold. They're going to fold.
McCain said something about regular order. Don't we need regular order?
Yeah. Apparently, you know, apparently I think that the calculus right now is that there is enough in this bill that is aligned with their principles that they like. The Republicans' method of thinking about the deficit is insane. They see the deficit only as a spending problem, not as a revenue problem. So if these assholes ran a company, they would, you know, bankrupt it at every corner of the world because they don't think that you balance, you know, receipts and, you know, expenditures. But that's not really necessary for whatever the fuck reason. But that's the way they're working this.
Right. Because the bottom line here is that, you know, the rhetoric for years and years and years has been around deficit. And debt and the national debt and things like that.
Right.
But when push comes to shove, time and time and time again, the Republicans have shown themselves, and of course there are exceptions here and there, but overall the Republicans have shown themselves that a balanced budget is not something they actually care about at all. They only care about reducing spending and reducing taxes. The ratio at which those happen and whether or not that results in a positive or negative deficit isn't really all that different. They want to be reducing both of those as low as possible, within certain limits. But, you know, so in this case, they're doing taxes right now. They're reducing taxes, as much as they can, and two groups that they favor. Primarily. But spending is not part of this discussion. Now, some of them are quite honest and say, well, we want to follow this up by massive spending cuts next year sometime.
Right. And they're targeting all the shit that they said that they weren't going to cut before.
Right. I mean, you want to cut, the Social Security, welfare, blah, 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 all of the social safety net stuff. That's what they want to get rid of.
Right,
you don't hear many of them saying, like, let's cut defense in half. It's all about the social safety net stuff.
It's all about the social safety nets, yes. The main changes in conference that they did, the final bill, and I'll read this. This is from the New York Times summary about this. The final bill adds back many of the price tax breaks that were stripped by the House legislation, including allowing taxpayers to continue to deduct high out-of-pocket medical expenses and interest paid on student loans. It will also continue allowing graduate students to receive tuition waivers to avoid paying taxes on that benefit, which that was one thing that was like that had been included. That was like people were like thought that House Republicans were nuts. The bill also contains the Senate's repeal of the Affordable Care Act requirement that most Americans have health insurance or pay a penalty, and a provision that opens the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. They also they increased retention, the retention of deductibility of state and local taxes, and they get it to, they put it a limit of $10,000. So because in one of the versions they'd removed it, but they added it back. There's a number of GOP Republicans that are from blue states that are still there. They are all in the House saying, look, unless you put this thing back, we're not voting for this fucking thing. But right now it's at $10,000. That's better than zero right now, but that's still screwing California and New York are getting completely fucked in this thing. But basically, most of the really egregious things in here that were fucking people. I still have some point of contention of what the impact of eliminating the individual mandate is. Mm-hmm. Is eliminating the individual mandate doesn't like eliminate the ACA. The theories around the calculations around eliminating the individual mandate is if you eliminate it. How many people are actually buying insurance right now because they don't want to pay the penalty?
Right.
And that's a tough call.
Well, because
I think,
yeah, the penalty is less than the cost of the insurance anyway, in most cases, right?
Right.
So,
right. So people right now would have been encouraged to pay the penalty anyway. So that's why I don't know if hordes of people are going to stop buying insurance if they can afford it, just because the individual the mandate was there. I thought myself that was more put in as a revenue raiser rather than a really serious stick to make people buy the insurance. This was not a stick program. This was more a carrot to people more than a stick. People want health insurance. They were having difficulty to get it. We're going to give you subsidies and ways for you to, if you don't have a lot of money, to be able to get affordable health insurance. I mean, that's the way that this program worked for the most part. There was a stick, but it wasn't a very big stick. So I understand the concerns around it. I've heard the calculations that this many people could lose insurance. I am concerned about that. I'm not sure that those are that because of how unpredictable that is, what the real effect will be. So
how about the other provisions? Because here's one of the things, and I just want to put this out here because I'm going to get into this in the net neutrality part when we talk about that in a minute too. But one of the things that I look at these, and you get all of these people talking about, oh, if this passes, it's the end of the world. Everything's going to go to hell. It's all going to be awful.
The end of the world. The problem, not short term. Look, the bigger problem with this thing, to me, the biggest problem, the overarching problem, is that it is adding to the damn deficit. A lot of money. Okay? Maybe not right now, but sure as hell in 10 years. And what it is a fucking baby boomers fucking taking more money and fucking dumping the fucking shitbox on us to take care of.
And our kids.
That's the reality.
So, because this goes back to something I was asking a couple weeks ago when we talked about this. You know, if in terms of change, like on the one hand, the Democrats are all like, this is awful. So many people are going to die. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. So many people are going to get screwed. It screws the middle class, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It does screw the middle class. They're going to pay more.
But here's the question here is putting this into the right magnitude or context, because if the Democrats sort of portray this as an end of the world event, and, you know, the average voters, you know, the lifespan of their memory for things is maybe 6 months at the outside a year. If they're not, you know, feeling massive pain in the first 6 to 12 months, then they're going to be like, what the hell were the Democrats going on about? This is nothing.
Because here's the thing. Because the deficit isn't like a catastrophe that hits you like a hurricane or something like that. Okay? That's the problem, number one. The second thing is that because they're giving tax cuts to corporations and all of this shit, it's also – but your tax increases may not be huge, right? You're not realizing that these motherfuckers – are stealing from your pocket a little bit of money, right? And fucking making this massive giveaway to a whole bunch of very wealthy corporations and individuals.
Well, exactly my point is that, like, if you're trying to look for, you know, electoral results one way or another, you know, long-term slow effects people don't fucking notice, you know.
It's the problem, enough about the fact that, you know, this is such a fucking rich people giveaway,
but at the same like if you've got, you know, people and trying
really
to make the
rich
case
people.
That yeah no I get it, but if the I worry that the Democrats are overstating their case by trying to paint this as such an awful, horrible thing, and everybody's going to get hurt. And maybe there's a case that, yeah, this has all kinds of negative impacts 10, 15 years down the line. But if people don't see things going to hell
impacts are negative like right now. Look, the people that earners that are between $100,000 to $250,000 that itemize are getting fucked. I mean, those people are going to hurt the way that this thing is written.
Okay.
I mean, they are. I mean, those guys, especially in California and New York, those people are taking a fucking kick in the balls. Okay.
And again, though, like going back to the politics again, though, why would the Republicans care about screwing California and New York? Those are Democratic states.
Yep. That's what they're thinking right now. That's their thinking right now. And let me put it to you this way. That kind of thinking is that's why they're losing the fuck. That's why they're getting murdered in November 2018. That's the kind of thinking. And what they're doing is right now a short term calculus. This is what they're doing. They know those people are going to get hurt. They know those people are going to have leverage. So what they're trying to do right now is they're going to pass this fucking shit turn. And what's going to happen is that over the next couple of years, a lot of this shit is going to get undone. Because that's what happened with most of these fucking tax bills, especially when they go way too far in one direction like this.
Well, and especially
they wind up slowly just getting undone. It's not like an entitlement. It's not like taking away people's insurance. It's not like taking away Medicare. This shit, when it's like this, winds up getting undone in pieces over the next number of years. It's what happened to W's tax cuts. They eventually got undone. It took 10 years, but they got undone, and the same shit's going to happen with this. And probably faster, because it took getting Congress back and getting the White House back longer under W. In this case, it may be a lot shorter of a time frame. So I think their strategy is to fucking shove in as much shit as they can, whatever the fuck that they want. And what they're hoping is, let's see how much, you know, let's see how much remains after we do this fuck job.
Okay, enough about taxes. This has taken long enough. It's not really very lightning-y, whatever. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this.
Do-do-do. Hello, this is Nicole. I'm here to let you know about Sam the Curmudgeon's other podcasts, the Wiki of the Day podcasts. Wiki of the Day comes in three varieties, popular, random, and featured. Each highlights a new Wikipedia article each day. They just pick the articles differently. This week on Featured Wiki of the Day, you would have heard this summary for Portman Road. Portman Road is an association football stadium in Ipswich, Suffolk, England. It has been the home ground of Ipswich Town FC since 1884. The stadium has also hosted many England youth international matches, and one senior England friendly international match against Croatia in 2003. It has staged several other sporting events, including athletics meetings and international hockey marches. In addition, musical concerts and Christian events have been held at the ground. The stadium underwent significant redevelopments in the early 2000s, which increased the capacity from 22,600 to a current figure of 30,311, making it the largest capacity football ground in East Anglia. Each of its four stands have since been converted to all-seater, following the recommendations of the Taylor Report. Also located at the ground are conference and banqueting facilities, the Sir Bobby Robson Suite, Legends Bar and a club store selling Ipswich Town merchandise. That's all there is to it. See? Fun, entertaining, educational. And short. Okay, now look for and subscribe to the Wiki of the Day family of podcasts on your podcast playing software of choice, or just go to wikioftheday.com to check out our archives. Now back to Curmudgeon's Corner. Do-do-do.
My turn, and I did want to talk about the net neutrality debate a little bit, and I'm moving straight to this off the taxes, because I think, to me, some of the same themes are happening, again, with my language and disappointing Yvonne. Can't do grammar, can't keep my tongue going the right way, whatever.
And your math sucks.
Numbers confuse me, it's whatever. Anyway, I wanted to talk about net neutrality in the same way, because just to be clear, I think having net neutrality policies in place is better. I think it is the right policies. That's the way we should go. The net should be neutral. I don't have any problem with regulation saying that it has to be so. I might even go further in regulating internet providers than net neutrality goes. I've said on this show before.
Let me make this point.
Like I've said on this show before, like I would be in favor of something that's saying, you know, if you are in the business of delivering bits to people, you can't also be in the content business, for instance. I'd be fine with rules like that. However, you know, when people they're taking away these rules and everybody is like freaking out saying, oh my God, the internet is over. They're destroying the internet. The internet, as you know, it is dead and all kinds of bad things will be happening tomorrow and blah, blah, blah. Look, here are a couple things. One, this is going back to the rules as it was several years ago. And yes, the internet service providers do a variety of bad things and did them before, and they were smacked down by the FCC. Now, this FCC isn't going to smack them down, so it's going to let them happen. So I have no doubt whatsoever that the major internet service providers are going to start doing shit that I think is awful and horrible and bad for the internet. However, it's not the end of the fucking world. And as you said with the taxes, this is also something where, well, A, the internet service providers have to balance things off. They have a certain motivation not to go too far down this line because they'll piss off their own consumers. They have some balancing things there. But also, this is also likely to get undone the next time the Democrats are in control, which at the current rate, you know, okay, maybe it's 4 years. Maybe it's six, you know, but this is not forever. Things will change. And I don't want to minimize, yes, bad things I don't like are going to happen. And that is true. But I don't think it helps anybody to exaggerate what's going to happen and make it seem like, you know, everything is going to go to hell and it's going to be
awful.
You
know, like tomorrow, they're going to start metering your internet by the megabyte. Okay.
I think that would be a smart idea. They probably should, but it's
no. But I'm saying, there's debates about that. You know, but anyway,
you can meter internet like that in a net neutral way as well. But the bottom line is, I don't think it helps to exaggerate. Now I know you have to some degree to get people motivated. People always exaggerate, like. And paint worst case scenarios. And this goes for all sides of the political spectrum. They're always painting worst case scenarios and trying to motivate people and get people riled up because of that. But the worst case scenarios are almost never what actually is going to happen. You know, things can be bad without being end of the world bad, you know, and I don't know that it's helpful to paint the picture so far out there, because again, then you lose credibility when what actually happens isn't that bad.
No, I agree. I agree. You know, but I think that maybe I guess what you're saying is that you know, outrage needs to be correctly played. You know, correct. You know, not everything can receive the full outrage treatment.
Yeah, and
the thing is, I think lately,
just
I think
be realistic.
I think part of the problem is there's just so much shit going on. I think people right now are having difficulty, and I agree that. And I will say sometimes I get on that same boat. It's kind of hard to keep the outrage decibels down.
Right.
Because it just seems like every fucking day, like, it's like, I mean, it's just an onslaught against something. Whether it's, you know, like Trump today trotting out, oh, look, all these regulations that we're going to go. We only had these in 1960. We have these now. We're going to go back to 1960. And I'm like, really? So I guess you want lakes on fire, acid rain, lead pipes, asbestos. I mean, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, it's like, I mean, because that's the kind of shit that he talks about.
Yeah,
right?
One way to put what I'm saying, too, is like, you know, net neutrality, undoing these regulations maybe only takes us back to where we were 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was 3 years since Obama signed the legislation, but there are actually changes here that undo other things as well. So let's say it takes you back 5 years. Okay, it only takes you back to where you were 5 years ago. On the other hand, we're still going fucking backwards.
Right.
You know, because I think that... Because I think those regulations were positive, because I think the ISPs are pretty awful companies. Now, there are other ways you could deal with it. Get rid of the local monopolies, blah, 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 blah. There are other solutions I would have that aren't necessarily...
Or you wind up having to... Look, there may be the other option. Okay. They should be regulated just like the fucking telco monopolies were regulated, for God's sakes. Because, look, one of the things, say whatever the hell you want about that. Look, when they were regulated in a way that they made telephone companies guarantee certain universal access and other things to people, okay?
Yeah.
I think that some of those rules should apply to the internet. Because there are communities right now that, because of the way that the internet is structured, where, I mean, they're grossly underserved, that don't have, reasonable internet connectivity. And that really, holds them back in educational development and economic development as well. So... it's a necessary service right now. It's not a luxury. It stopped being a luxury a long time ago.
Agreed. Anyway, my point on all of this, yes, I think these developments are bad, but B, I think that the overselling of how bad they are isn't helping anybody. There is an honest debate on the other side of, ways that net neutrality potentially stifles certain kinds of innovation. And there is a decent argument to be made there. I'm not sold by that argument, but there is an argument to be made there. But one of the interesting things here is nobody's been making that argument really strongly. The FCC commissioners who are doing this have never taken the time to really articulate, why they think this is really good in a coherent way, or to respond directly to the criticisms that some people have of it. And in part, it's because some of the things that people are saying, well, this is bad. For instance, the critics of these changes are like, people will have, paid high speed lanes, and there'll be slow lanes and fast lanes, and you'll be able to whatever. And part of the issue is that a lot of the people who are against net neutrality actually think that is an unalloyed good. Great. Right. It's great that you can do that. It gives more flexibility. It allows people to put in different pricing plans. It allows people to make more money by differentiating this stuff. And so it's good. Look, there are decent arguments to be made there. Nobody's really spending a lot of time making those anti-net neutrality arguments in coherent ways that address the concerns of the pro-net neutrality people. It's just another example of sort of people yelling across the chasm at each other. And this is also one where if you look at polling and everything else, in terms of not using the name, but asking about the actual policies behind it and what would or would not be allowed, most people are in favor of an internet that is mostly net neutral. But the political class is different. The donor class is different. And so here we are. Anyway.
Yep.
Time for another break, since we're breaking this lightning round into segments, because we're actually talking quite a few minutes on each one, and it's not really very much like lightning. Back after this.
Alex and the West. Being Alex and Dad. Gaming videos and more from Alex. Elementary school by day, YouTube by night, AlexMZilla.com. AlexMZilla is AlexMXELA, and .com is period and then COM.
Your turn again, Yvonne. Let's just do one more each, and then we'll wrap this up.
Okay, so apparently the judgeships. So you posted something on an unqualified judicial nominee. Well, there's a couple more that apparently, like Chuck Grassley, went to Trump, I guess, yesterday or something, whatever, where he basically said... And I guess they withdrew them. You can't nominate these assholes.
Well, so there's some that made it through the process. And what we're talking about is specifically people who've been nominated for judgeships, for U.S. Circuit Court, federal judges, et cetera, the ones that Trump has the power to nominate. And he's nominated a few now, I think like half a dozen or something, that basically have no significant, I think they all are actually lawyers, at least we're that far, but like with no trial experience, no previous experience on the bench, but not even no experience as judges, barely any experience as lawyers. And he's nominated them to like federal judgeships anyway. And at least a couple of them have actually made it through and been confirmed by the Senate. But apparently the Senate, even Republican senators, are starting to get annoyed by this.
Yes. I mean, there were two specifically that I heard were withdrawn. There was a guy called Jeff Mateer. Mateer is a lawyer in the state of Texas and a right-wing religious extremist who has called transgender children evidence of Satan's plan. He will not get a judgeship.
Okay.
And the other guy is Brett Talley, will not be confirmed. Talley is a blogger who has never argued a case in federal court in his life. He was rated unanimously unqualified for the post by the American Bar Association. And so that guy is also...
He's the one I thought actually made it through, so maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. But these are ridiculous nominees! I don't understand this.
Well,
I mean,
come on. It fits in perfectly with Donald
Trump.
Why? This whole.
But doesn't he get his nomination? Listen, Donald Trump is not sitting around picking these names. He's getting these names given by.
He's picking some of them, yeah.
These fucking people. I mean, I get that they want people aligned to their ideology. But what, are the only people aligned to their ideology just fucking incompetent?
Well, look, here's the thing. I mean, fundamentally, I think you're right. So certain of these judgment, Donald Trump's Supreme Court list was directly out of, like, one of the major conservative groups, right? It's like,
right.
Basically he said, give me a list and I'll go by that list, right? But exactly. At these lower levels, there's a lot of patronage going on. It's just, like, people who supported the campaign. It's Donald Trump's whole thing about loyalty overall. And it's also just this general ethos among this whole group of people that expertise doesn't matter, that expertise is something that is suspect. That you don't want a bunch of eggheads who quote unquote know what they're doing, you know. That's just like nuts. You want people where you trust their gut.
Fuck. Okay, sure. All right.
I don't know. I mean,
okay.
I mean, but like I said, it fits with everything else. I mean, look who are running half the departments in the cabinet. I mean, this is not a shocker. You know, most of those folks didn't know anything about the business of their departments.
Well, I guess look at all these fucking morons. Gork, Carter Page. What's the other guy? Steve Miller. All these fucking people. They're just morons. They have no qualifications. They have no intellect. They're just idiots spewing nonsense nonstop.
But
so, yeah, okay.
That's what you want, right? Anybody – you don't want those nerds from high school actually in charge of anything.
Yeah, okay, sure.
You don't want the people who paid attention in class. You don't want the people who, like, studied. Because what the fuck? They're a bunch of losers.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, one more break, then one more topic.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, one more for me, I guess, and then we'll stop this thing. What do I pick?
Drum roll. I don't have a drum roll.
Here's what I'm going to go with. I mentioned at the very end of last week's show, when I was going to do our usual spiel about Patreon or whatever, and we did the song instead, but the Patreon had done a big misstep. They had gone and, for those of you who don't know, first of all, Patreon is a company that basically set up to provide income streams to artists and creators. So we have a Patreon for this podcast, for instance, patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner, where if you feel like it, you can go and say, I'm going to give Sam and Yvonne a buck a month to support the show or whatever. And we have a handful of patrons who give us money. Thank you very much. But it's basically set up for this. And so what they did was change the fee structure. Where beforehand, if you said, I want to give a buck a month to Curmudgeon's Corner, then that's what would come out of your credit card every month, $1. And then they'd take some fees out and we would actually get 90 cents or something, right? I forget exactly what the ratio was, but they'd take their fee out and that's how they made money, right? So they decided to change.
They gotta make a living. I get it. Okay. Right.
But they decided to change their structure so that in the end, they would get more money. But what they did was change it. So if you pledged $1, they'd actually charge you $1.20 and take the 20 cents instead of taking it out of the other part. And they changed it. I mean, they would take some out of both parts. So they were actually pulling more money out. Of course, their goal, pull more money than they were before. But they actually were giving more to the creators, but taking more from the patrons. And so everybody blew up on this because the way they changed their fee structure also disproportionately affected low dollar contributors. If you were giving $1, all of a sudden, your credit card would start getting charged $1.25 or something instead of $1. So big percentage increase to you if you're a small giver, right? So, and most people on Patreon, like us, I mean, we're getting something $24 a month off of Patreon. We're not getting rich off this thing. But that's where most people who are set up on Patreon are getting. They're getting, $20, $30, maybe if they're really, really freaking lucky, $100 a month out of this thing. There are a handful of success cases that are actually making a living on there, but it's very rare. Most of them are small dollar amounts with a bunch of small dollar donors that are giving $1 or $2. And this change was screwing all those people. So Patreon, anyway, they backed off of all this after all of the people protested and were very angry. There were people dropping off the platform, even people who were, staying on the platform as creators were losing subscribers. It was a mess. It was bad. They backed off it. But my point for this, and this relates to things I said before, I know I sound like I'm on a repeat, but this seems like a change that was driven by Patreon being a for-profit company driven by venture funding who wants to get big and large. And so they were talking about their sales funnels and they had documents on their website even about how they really wanted the big players who already had a built-in audience and would be bringing in thousands and thousands of dollars. And they really didn't care about these small-time creators, which were actually most of their users.
Exactly. I mean, this is what the service is. I mean, the big-time people, they can get them to pay directly. They don't need a damn Patreon to freaking, to do this shit.
And so I'm thinking, first of all, this is yet another example of a business that would be a really good small business that stayed small or stayed medium-sized business. You mean the
big. The go vertical.
the basic functionality of something like a Patreon is not that complicated. Give me a team of like 4 or 5 developers, we could probably reproduce the thing fairly quickly, right? The basic functionality. I'm not talking about all the bells and whistles and everything, but just, you know, a method to sign up to give a recurring payment to somebody you like every month. Okay? That's not that complicated, right? Now, there's some things you want to build trust and make sure, but anyway, the basics aren't that much. You know, you don't need, you know, a huge company to do that. You don't need, and it's not going to, and if you're just taking your little percentage off everybody's transaction, you're not necessarily going to be like this huge company that's going to make billions of dollars. You could be a small to medium-sized business that stays that size for decades and just does that.
Right.
Or the I think like for something like this, it would be perfectly well served by being a nonprofit for that matter, you know? Yeah, just you are providing a necessary service as a intermediary. Why can't companies like this be satisfied with, hey, we can set this up in a way that's sustainable. We'll pay our salaries and the salaries of the group of people that need to be there in order to provide this service, and we're good.
What kind of fucking person are you? You some kind of fucking burning communist, you know, motherfucker? I mean, who are you?
I keep thinking that if I ever had the luck to become a billionaire, I would start identifying business areas where I could build a small nonprofit that would kick the legs out of the for-profit companies in that area and just do it as a nonprofit.
There you go. That's the Sam plan. There you go.
Well, you know, look.
I do agree that there. Look, the, you know, we have a problem where everybody just feels like they need to get big. Okay, you know, and what's wrong with sometimes just, you know, you don't need to be big. I mean, as long as you're, you know, the people are doing well, the service is provided, and you know. You're not huge. You're just a good size.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I mean, everybody, we just want more.
And I think there are lots of these businesses that would be a perfectly good small to mid-sized business, could make a decent living for the people involved and provide an awesome service that the fact that they're either taking venture funding or eventually even going public just... It just distorts the motivations entirely and gets it so that they lose track of, here's the service I'm actually providing to people. Let me do that as well as I possibly can, because they're diving after, like, maybe I'll get lucky and become a billionaire here. And I think that this is true of Patreon. I think I've said it before about Twitter. Like, Twitter would be a great small business. You know, the fact that they're trying to figure out how to support Wall Street valuations that are crazy means that they're doing all kinds of shit that doesn't actually help the platform, doesn't help the users, and will eventually fail because, no, you're not going to become as big as Facebook. Sorry. You know, and I don't know. I just every time I see these, I get depressed by them. And I understand. Look, there is room for the next company that's going to become the next Apple or the next whatever and is going to be a multi-billion dollar company. But there's so many really good small ideas. Why isn't there somebody out there who's happy just doing small ideas and, you know, making good out of them? I don't know.
Well, maybe, but I guess it's not happening right now. So anyway, until Sam reaches his $1 billion fortune.
Oh, you know, well, let me check Bitcoin. Maybe I'm there already.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Check your Bitcoin accounts. check your cryptocurrency accounts. You know, see where you're at. You're still short.
I'm checking. Yeah,
you're still short.
Yeah, everything's pretty much flat in the last 24 hours. But, well, I say flat. One of them's down 12%. One of them's up 4%. But in the Bitcoin world, that's flat. You know?
Nope. Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, no, I don't have enough in cryptocurrency yet to go do what I just described. I feel so sad. I mean, it's been a week since we talked about it last time, and I'm not a billionaire yet. What is wrong?
I don't know.
And here, of course, I was talking about, can't you be satisfied saying small? So, you know. But that's for everybody else. I still want to be a billionaire. Right?
I don't need to be a billionaire. It's okay. If I, you know, if I got a billion, it's, you know, the only reason for me to get a billion is to give most of the fucking money away again anyway. So whatever. I mean, if that's the reason for it, yeah, sure.
There you go. Anyway, so Yvonne, you and I, we'll build the nonprofit Patreon next week. How's that sound?
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, before I forget.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Omarosa got fired.
Oh, yeah, whatever. You know, I never watched The Apprentice, so I don't even know. Everybody else sort of has this opinion of her, right?
I never watched The Apprentice either. But I heard about this idiot. Okay. Apparently she got dragged out of the White House, basically kicking and screaming.
Yeah, after spending almost a year doing nothing.
And she tried to barge into the residence.
Yeah, well, apparently
the Secret Service had to stop her from doing.
The one thing she did do in the White House over the last year until John Kelly got there, apparently, was several times a day just go into the Oval Office, talk to Donald Trump, and get him riled up.
God's sakes. Anyway, so.
Okay. Yeah, goodbye, Omarosa. All right. And thanks, everybody, for listening to yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, go to facebook.com/curmudgeonscorner. Leave your comments, questions, thoughts there. Like the show. Share it with your friends. All that kind of stuff. Leave a review at iTunes. And we were just talking about Patreon a bunch. Patreon fixed their little policy, so they're not screwing everybody anymore. So patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. If you want to drop us a couple bucks, we would appreciate it. And that's it. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And I don't say bye yet. Bye.
Okay, my ears are bent. Okay, bye.
Excellent.